Blog Talk Radio.
If I were the devil, if I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about, however necessary, to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old, I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
Paul Harvey. Good day.
Oh, yes, and isn't it so true? If I Were the Devil by Paul Harvey. That was from 1965, folks. That was 53 years ago. That's incredible. And you know, when you look back 53 years ago, this was statements from him, and it is so true. And every year since then, it's just gotten so much more affirmation of what this devil is doing to this world, to this country, to everyone that will listen to him and apply what he wants them to do. It's a mess, you know, it's a mess. But you know what? God is here too, and he wants us to help clean it up. Anyways, welcome to the show, everyone. Thank you very much for joining us here. My name is Glenn Atkinson, and I have a co-host, Gary Rumor, here with the Pit Radio News. The Pit stands for the Politically Inconvenient Truth, and boy, oh boy, do we ever need to get this truth out. Don't we, Gary? How are you doing up there in North Dakota?
We're doing pretty good up here. It's a nice day today. The sun is out, and I agree with you. It's like I said, it's chaos. You know what Paul Harvey said was Exactly true, and then some. I'm going to add more to it because and then some. You know, it just never stops. But yeah, but that's what happens when people think try to convince others that there is no God. They take over thinking that they're going to do the right thing, and guess what happens? Chaos moves in, and everything falls apart. Without God, everything falls apart. You can play God; it just doesn't work. And God will, as soon as they are willing to accept God back in their lives, God will forgive them, and He'll guide them the right way again. But you know, we learn a lesson every time. I mean, every time we try to get rid of God. I mean, this happens in biblical times. It's happened. And the same thing happened if everything falls apart. And that's just the way it is. But anyway, I'm doing pretty good like this. My health has gotten a lot better. I feel great. And I'm ready to rock and roll, my friend. I'll turn it back to you.
Awesome. Yes, it's great to know your health is getting in check. That's what we need. We need you around, of course. We need you to help do God's will and God's word. You know, because this politically inconvenient truth is so much necessary to get this to get God's word across. You know, it's a politically inconvenient truth, and you know, it's also biblically inconvenient truth. You know, it's just one of those things that people just don't get. And you know, voices like yourself and other shows that you know we're on and whatever have you, and you know, we need to get this out there because it's just so much lies running rampant, and unfortunately, with the mainstream media. Many people are believing it because they're not hearing the real truth, or the actual real truth is being suppressed over years and years. And our youth, you know, they're hearing all this indoctrination and whatever, and that's what's fanning the flames, as Paul Harvey said in that 3 minutes or so. You know, they just fan the flames and make things worse. But you know, we got to have voices out there that are speaking the truth, so they can actually understand that you know, they're following the enemy's will, not God's will. So you're absolutely right. You know, it's chaotic, but you know, that's a mess, and we're the messengers out there to help clean up the mess with God. But we know we have a lot of topics as usual to go over. We have this economic boom. That Donald Trump, well, the numbers just came out on Friday, and it's 4.1. And, you know, you look at Obama's era, he never reached past 2.9 on the average every year. You know, he basically collapsed his economy. And, you know, everybody was saying, I mean, when I say everybody, I mean these liberals and whatever, these elitists that were saying, oh, Donald Trump, he's just, it's like a pipe dream. He, you know, he's not going to ever get past 3. No, it can't do it. There's no manufacturing jobs. So therefore, you know, how is he going to bring them back? And well, guess what, folks? He did everything of the opposite of what they said, you know. So therefore, he just keeps plugging away, even though the Congress is, you know, going against them, doing whatever they want to steal the agenda, stall tactics so they can try and take back the House in November, which I don't believe they're going to. We have 100 days left before that, you know, the election and whatnot. So basically, Donald Trump said in the last 60 days, he said this, actually I heard on the news today, he said the last 60 days he's going to be going around campaigning for all these people, the Republicans and whatever have you. So it's very important that we get people out there, you know, on the ground running here, you know, in your local, you know, it's not just about the big elections, but all the little elections, all these people that are that we need to get out from the ground, the grassroots. These are what makes things happen all the way up, and that's so important that sometimes people lose sight of that, you know. So you know, we got to get people out there to understand what we're going to lose if we don't get out. We can't just rely on the next guy, because the next guy might be saying the same thing, rely on the next guy, and guess what? Before you know it, no one's doing anything. So we need to get everybody involved, and hey, folks, this is your country. You know, everyone needs to say, this is my country, and we wanted it back, we're getting it back, so let's keep it great. Let's keep it great. You know, Donald Trump and God and everybody else that's working together is making America great again, but we need to now, the new slogan is keep America great. So we got to be part of the solution and not part of the problem like it has been for years. So we need to get you out there, get you out there registering, voting, doing what you have to do, you know, campaigning with people, you know, just be part of that solution, folks, as Gary and I and many people are doing radio and TV to help get the truth out there. And having said that, you can call us here at 646-787-8534 and just press 1 if you have a comment or question. Again, 646-787-8534. Yeah, just hit that 1, and you know, you can say, you know, come on in here and just, you know, share your opinions or whatever. Actually, we don't have opinions. It's just, we just got to follow the truth. At the same time, it's just, you know, give us a comment or a question, and just you know, be involved. You know, be involved in the conversation. We loved it. Last week we had a few callers in there, so it was great, great discussion. You know, it's good dialogue going back and forth. You may not agree with someone, but you know, we keep it clean and everything like that. You know, we keep it all clean. So anyhow, so with this economy booming in the right direction, as Donald Trump had mentioned, he also is talking about the border again. Of course, you know, the border, he's wanting this $5 billion this year to get that wall going. And just found out before the show, you know, he has been saying that he will shut this government down if they will not fund this wall. He's pretty serious. You know, everyone that knows Donald Trump, you know, just since becoming a candidate or the president also, he has stuck by his word, and, you know, he has the Congress a lot against him, but, you know, he's got a lot of things done. So if he's willing to shut this government down to get this border wall done, this is pretty serious stuff, folks. And you know what? And I support him 100% because enough's enough. We need to keep these criminals out, and we need to get them out. The ones that are illegal, that are here, that are not supposed to be here in the first place. And, you know, a lot of these people are saying, oh, but, you know, they're going to separate the families. He doesn't want to separate the families. He's not wanting to do that. It's not because of what he wants or whatever. It's what these individuals are choosing to do with their life. No different than an American that are born here and been here for 30, 40 years, and if they did something wrong, they robbed a bank or whatever, they'd go to jail. And guess what? They're not bringing their family with them. They're the ones that made that choice to do something that was unlawful, that was not right, not constitutional. So therefore, you have to pay the price. And whatever that price is, yeah, it's going to affect your family, but you should have thought of that first. What's your thoughts about that, Gary?
Well, you're exactly right. And what they do when they shut down government, you'll still get your Social Security checks. I mean, that part will not be shut down. The essential part will still be running. It's the unessential
right.
parts, you know, maybe your theme rides and stuff. I mean, might shut those down because it's really not necessary. In fact, I don't even know why we have government running theme parks and stuff like that. But you still have your Social Security checks and anything that's essential. You know, if you're working for a government agency or for any government office, you're going to still get your money. You're still going to have your job. They're not going to, and even if you got laid off, you're still going to be paid no matter what. So, I mean, what would people gripe about that? But that's what they mean. I just want to clarify that because some people think everything's shut down, that you won't get Social Security checks and essential services will be shut down. They won't be. So that's got to be clarified. So, but then yep. I don't think Donald Trump wants to shut, you know, like Social Security payments down or pensions being taken down or whatever. He just wants to shut down unessential stuff like your park rides and maybe some parks will be shut down. Stuff like that, but then again, you'll live without going to a park for a while because it'll eventually be opened up again. You know, it isn't a permanent thing. I think President Reagan shut down government. I think it was like 37 days. I don't know for sure. I can't say because I've just taken a stab in the dark. But I know it was for a substantial amount of time. But it still opened up, and that's just the way it is. It's just a temporary thing. It puts a little pressure on the lawmakers too to do the right thing. And I'm all for it, too. I'm just saying I'm all for this government shutdown. I mean, just because, like I said, a lot of this stuff I really don't think we should have anyway, the unessential services. I would be better run by private sectors or at least a state government, you know. Let the states run these things. I don't think the federal government should have their hands in a lot of this stuff anyway. And so, you know, because the less government, see, I you know, one thing I heard you say is keep America great. That's a good campaign slogan because it was make America great, but that's when Donald Trump was running for president. Now, when things are getting a lot better, and they're probably going to keep on getting better, I like that slogan, keep America great. Keep running for constitutional government, not big government, something like that, because that's what we're all pushing for is constitutional government. If the government stays within the constitutional bounds, we're going to be great as a country. If they exceed the constitutional bounds and start growing their government, of course, the corruption is going to grow and the web of deceit is going to grow. They're going to promise you things they can't deliver, and they're doing that now. The health care thing was the big thing. Obama promised everything, and he couldn't deliver none of it. He said it was going to be free, and he could have anything you want, and there's people running around voting for it, thinking that there you can have anything you want. That's what socialism always promises. But guess what happens? You pay the piper in the end, and actually the chickens do come home to roost, and you'll find out it isn't pleasant at all. It's misery. And like I said, the only God can promise paradise and deliver it. Humans can promise it, but it's never happened in history. It's never happened across the whole globe. They can promise paradise, and all they can do is deliver misery out of it. That's also would be a good campaign slogan, too, to speak out against socialism, because socialism is they promise paradise. They promise how wonderful it would be, and people run around thinking that it's great. It isn't. It's deceiving. It's dispiriting to people who work hard and want to make it. They have to give up a lot of their money or their property, which is their money. They have to give it up for a lot of it's for waste just to empower a politician. And if you ever notice with socialism that people don't strive very good on it, like people go on welfare, they can't even really get by from month to month. But you ever notice that the politicians get filthy, just sloppy rich out of it? They're the ones that benefit. So if you guys think politicians should be rich, the ones that commit crimes, and a lot of them do commit crimes, criminal acts, some of them should be in jail. They don't obey the law. And yet at the same time, well, vote for the politicians if you think they should get filthy rich and the rest of us should suffer. I don't think that way. I think the politicians, I'm not saying they shouldn't be paid nothing, but they don't need to get filthy rich. In fact, with government, when you're working with government, there can be a set limit on income, whereas in private sector, there shouldn't be, because the private sector creates the wealth. With God, God always helps. God guides the way. I mean, that's what he does. He has you do it, but he guides you. It's just like any time you have a hurdle, he isn't going to do the hurdles for you. He's going to guide you, but you'd have to jump your own hurdles. That's how you become a strong person. He always supports the weak that way. If you're a weak person, he's going to help you, but he's not going to do it for you. You got to do it yourself, and that's one thing God does. That's the way we should be doing it, too, with our kids. Okay, you want to do something, we'll help you out, but you have to do it yourself, and that's the way it should be. And that's what freedom is about, But I don't think we're getting back to where socialism is, where we were at one time. Why should we give politicians a free ride when they really don't have to work for it? I always said they have to work for it like anybody else. They're not above us. They're equal. In God's eye, the president isn't any better than anyone else. He's just another person, and that goes for Donald Trump. He's just he's no better than anybody else, but he's behaving. Donald Trump is behaving right on this. He's doing the right thing. And I know there's a lot of people that didn't know what was going to happen, but look what's happening. He's doing the right thing, and the economy is improving, and it's going to keep improving. I mean, it's going to get better. It takes time. He can't do everything overnight. There's not one person that can. He really doesn't have to do much of anything except unshackle us. Just remove the shackles and let us go to town, get rid of some of these taxes, and they could probably even cut taxes even more. It won't hurt. They don't really need that much money. In fact, if I believe Donald Trump isn't even being paid at all, so, I mean, he could go with zero taxes and he'd be fine, But, he cut taxes more and just have essential, just the essential government services and stuff that are out there. And I think we would do a lot better. Like I said, if it comes to unessential, at least let the private sector run. I think they do a lot better anyway, private sector. Or at worst, have the state government or local governments run it, because then it can be easier controlled by the people. Because the federal government, if you ever notice, when federal government starts growing power, and when Obama was in, we have very little say. We have almost nothing to say to change it. Even if it's hurting us, we can sit there and write our politicians a bunch of letters, and you just get... you get a letter back saying they can't do anything, or, oh, everything's working good, they'll lie to you and say, oh, it's working really good, just give it time, and it just keeps getting worse. So what we do is we want to put a lot of it in local hands, so we have the ability to vote them out of power a lot easier and to exercise our free speech. And one thing before I turn it back to Glenn, I have to say another thing that's really, I think it's helpful, is that all these radio stations or these radio shows are doing a lot too. And you can tell when they're, when the Democrat Party or people that don't like free speech, when they start complaining about these blogs on here hurting them. Well, I tell you what, that's what free speech is about. If we don't like what they're doing, we can speak out, and now we have a platform to do it. You know, before it was just, you know, CBS, your TV stations, and most of them are far leftist. They lied to you. And now they got some competition, and people are finding out a lot of these big-name stations like CNN, some of them, and they're failing. They're actually going downhill because now people are getting informed of the truth. So I guess I'll turn this back over to you. I'm getting long-winded enough here, my friend.
Oh, no, you're saying all the truth, and that's what the people need to hear, as you were touching on. And, you know, like even back at the opening segment there with Paul Harvey, you know, he said that, you know, they're going to take God out of a lot of things, and that's including the Congress. And that's what's happened here, is when the Congress are not following the Constitution, and this is what Donald Trump's trying to do, is he's trying to drain the swamp, so therefore, you know, we can have a lot better control for the Constitution. And therefore, right now, the more government, the more out of control this Constitution is. And therefore, without God, you know, that Constitution is based on God's the values, you know, the God's will. So, you know, the Founding Fathers would be just, you know, freaking out right now, you know, with stuff that's been going on in the last, you know, several decades, actually. So basically, you know, it's one of those things that all Donald Trump's trying to do, and the people that are in the Congress that are actually for Donald Trump, they see that he only wants to do God's will, make sure this Constitution is done right, and that's why he's appointing these Supreme Court justices, you know, because he knows that he's going to turn everything around as far as focusing on so they can interpret the law, not write them or do whatever they want. That's not the idea. And it's the same thing with him, you know, and Congress. They're only supposed to be there for the people, you know, for the people, meaning for what God's will is to be done for the people, so we can have a well-oiled machine. And the only way you're going to do that is draining the swamp by getting these people that are long in the tooth or short on brain cells, as far as I'm concerned, as far as what they're doing. They're not doing the right thing for God or the Constitution, which means that means that they're leaving the people out to dry. And if they are not doing what they're supposed to do, they get control, which means everything's out of control, as I was saying, and therefore, if they take from us and not give back what they're supposed to, then we have nothing left. And then they got control over us. So therefore, that is what we need to actually have done, is have people voted in properly that are going to uphold this Constitution, you know, do God's will, and therefore, in that whole movement, we will see less government, because this is what Donald Trump's trying to do. Is by draining the swamp, pardon me, by draining the swamp, that means he can get all of these elitists out of the way, and he can downsize the government with all these different things he's already doing by deregulating and whatever have you. You know, for every one regulation that would ever be put into place, he's taken two or three of them out. So, you know, there's never been any president for decades and decades that has done this much deregulation and cut taxes and see this growth so quickly. And especially when you consider, even with Ronald Reagan, people are saying that Donald Trump has two or three times the amount of people and things against him, and he's still getting it done. That's an anointment by God with Trump and the people that are following him, and the other people, the elitists, the liberals, and whoever else, they socialists, communist people that have those mindsets. That's why they're so pissed off, is because they don't want that. They don't want to have the power back to the people. They want large government. They want, so therefore they can get their gains, ill-gotten gains, money, and power and greed, and that's what they want. And, you know, with the health care you were mentioning, Gary, you know, you were mentioning about the health care and whatnot, how Obama, what he was doing, and We lied to people. You know, we're seeing all that outcome since, you know, 2017, when everything started to come into play, and then, you know, all of a sudden, then Donald Trump, he took some of the regulations out, which basically, you know, so people don't get penalized. They don't, you know, go to, you know, pay the prices. They don't have the money to do it. You know, Obama was trying to, you know, have fines for that. Like, that's just ridiculous. After he collapsed his economy and then he expects people to be able to afford health care. I mean, you know, so therefore, you know, that's what Donald Trump is doing, and that'll be another thing that'll be all completely revamped or just totally washed out. One or the other. In the other way, the end result of it'll be a heck of a lot better for people. We'll have, you know, be able to have competition within that to bring the prices down for health care. And our salaries, our wages are going up, and their jobs are going up for Hispanics, for blacks, for white women. All these numbers are he's shattering like records. Like, you know, there's been never more Hispanics or blacks or white women in the work field as there has been under his administration, and that's incredible. When you look back for all the people that all the presidents, you know, this is he's the 45th president, and for what he's done in, you know, basically 19 months. It's incredible. It is absolutely incredible considering who he's had against him. And, you know, I know I say this many times, but if Ronald Reagan was alive today and to see what this has been a turnaround, he's gonna say things like, well, you know, I thought I did good with Jimmy Carter after Jimmy Carter, but you know what? This is unbelievable. That's what he'd be saying, because he knows Jimmy Carter was a good man, but he had some really bad things that he did to America and the world. And you know, and it's not like an Obama situation where Obama was, I think it was 100% intentional. With Jimmy Carter, you know, some things might have been, but not a whole lot. But Ronald Reagan took over, and boy, did he ever turn things around. Well, it's even more of a turnaround with Obama to Donald Trump. And that's why it's so important that we have these races won for the Republicans for this November, because this is the single most important election. This is actually, Steve Bannon was saying on Hannity the other night, he was saying this is actually a referendum. This next election is like a referendum, and it's basically, you know, this is basically a national, an actual election basically for Trump. Because if we don't win this by getting the Republicans to keep control of the House and the Senate as we do now, and gain more seats, then what's happening here is you know, they're going to look to impeach Donald Trump and whatever. They're going to stop all these investigations that are going on now, so other people don't get thrown in jail. This is what they're trying to do, is trying to stall things. So it's very important that, you know, for to drain the swamp. This is all part and parcel. We need to actually get people out to vote. And you know, no bullying, no nothing like that. It's just basically giving the truth and letting these people have the freedom to decide with the truth. Because let's face it, folks, if you go into a movie theater and you're halfway, you know, you go in halfway through the movie, you don't know the first part of it, and then you leave 15 minutes early, and then you have to have a test on that to see, you know, what's the whole truth of that. Well, guess what? You're not going to fare very well, because you're not there to hear the whole truth. You're only going to be able to comment on what you think you know, and what was told to you. Well, you got to have the whole picture, and the whole picture is the politically inconvenient truth. And this is why it's so very important to get educated. Don't believe what you see or hear so much, even from us, but verify. Always verify to make sure it's the truth, because you know what? There's a lot of lies going on out there with the liberal left media and everything, and they're doing it so they can gain control and whatever have you. That's what they want to do. That's what they've been doing for since before I was born. You know, so therefore, it's just one of those things that, you know, if we allow them to do it, then it's nobody else's fault but ourselves. What do you think about that, Gary?
Well, you're exactly right on that. But I was thinking, you know, you're exactly right what you said about President Reagan. But here's a question I'd love to ponder: what would our founding fathers do if they were alive today and see what was going on?
Oh yeah.
You know.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I think they'd be building a lot of jails.
Yes. Oh, you're right.
Put more room out there for a lot of politicians would be spending a lot of time behind the crowbar motel. We call it that, you know, the crowbar motel. But that's what they would be doing. I mean, Hillary would be in jail, and, I mean, they'd be getting their free square meals and a cot. That's about it, you know. But I think they would be buildings, and some of them would be probably tried for treason. What's that?
Yeah, I was just going to say, on that point, you're exactly right. And I think that when Donald Trump, well, let's put back, when Obama said he was going to close down Guantanamo Bay in Cuba there for the terrorists, Donald Trump, you know, when Hillary Clinton, I think it was the second debate they had, when she said, something to the effect of, glad you're not the president. And he said, yeah, because you'd be in jail. Well, what he's meaning, yep. From what I know, is, he does not want to shut down Guantanamo Bay. He was, of course, against Obama releasing all those terrorists, whatever, in his last few days of office, whatever, months and whatever have you. So, anyways, he was pouring it on. What Donald Trump would like to do is he wants to get these people that are to be in jail. Yeah, you can put them in actually Guantanamo Bay, because that's what we call domestic terrorism, is what we're dealing with right now. This is treasonous and whatever. So that's all terrorism within. So we not only have to worry about these people, like you're saying, or like I was saying myself about as far as the terrorists, but we got to actually put the people that we have here, like the Clintons and whoever else that's going along with all this for the ride for these many, many decades, they need to be put into jail. So you're right. We can expand the wing. We can have different wings on this Guantanamo Bay and keep them in Cuba. So I think you're onto something. I think you're right.
I really believe that they as politicians, some of them aided terrorists, which is an act of treason. And, of course, the drug cartels, I would say they're terrorists, too. I mean, they murder innocent people. They put fear into people. I would say when Obama gave them live-firing firearms, and then he's trying to disarm us, the ones who are not causing problems with them, he's trying to disarm us. I would say, yes, he's committing treason, too, because the terrorists or the drug cartels, they're not going to use firearms in a lawful manner like we do. They'll misuse them. They'll use them to murder and slaughter people. In fact, a Border Patrol agent, a couple of them been killed. I don't know any of them personally, but I know of name of one. It was Brian Terry. He was murdered by a drug cartel, and one of those guns were found as a murder weapon. Well, that right there should have been impeachable, and he should have gone to prison for that. I'm sorry when people give a... If I would say, let's just put it this way. Let's just make it real easy to understand. Let's just say a person wants to rob a bank. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll just give them a firearm, and you just go have at it. Guess what happens? I go down, too, because I gave aid and comfort to the criminal, see? I helped them out. And that's what Obama did. He helped them out. And he was doing it, actually, to try to implement gun control, but... that does not work. We're smarter than that. He thinks we're a bunch of idiots, but we're smarter than that. And that doesn't matter why he did it. It's the fact that he did it, and he endangered our country. He wanted the crime rate to go up, which is endangering people's lives. Families' lives will be destroyed because of what he did, and they probably have been. He should have been going to prison for that for the rest of his life. And people who do that, it's just like murder. It's no different than murdering someone. He's helping someone else murder. It's kind of like Charles Manson. Charles Manson never really killed anybody, but he was encouraging other people to kill. And you remember the Sharon Tate murders and stuff like that. I mean, he was encouraging others. So he went down with the rest of the gang. In fact, he even had the death sentence. They repealed that in California, but... he went down for it because he was part of the gang. He didn't do it. He wasn't even there, but he was the one that incited all that stuff. So what's the difference when the politician does it? I don't think Obama, this is going to sound horrible, but I believe this. I don't think Obama was any better than Charles Manson, because he gave firearms to the drug cartels. Basically, he didn't have to encourage them. That's an encouragement right there. When you give a gun to a criminal, you know what they're going to do with it. See, and that just burned me to no end, and they walk away from it. He remained president, and we almost had Clinton as a president. She was no different. I mean, she was just as bad. I mean, and just imagine if she had gotten in. They would have done what they could to shut these like radio shows like this down. They would have tried everything they could to break up our communication. That's one thing they don't like is First Amendment. So they don't want us talking to each other, see? that's the first thing it goes. And of course, the guns go too, but the guns will probably go to the drug cartels. They take my guns and give them to criminals. I mean, just imagine, we're so happy, lucky to get Donald Trump in there, because Donald Trump wouldn't stand for that, you know. And I hope he still pursues a jail time for Hillary. I really do, because I don't think these politicians should get away with it. Well, I'll turn this back to you, my friend. So go ahead.
Well, you're right. You know, there is jail time coming for people. But what he's trying to do is he's trying to get the minnows to talk, so therefore the sharks will go down. And so that's what's going on with all this drain the swamp. But, you know, you brought up the Fast and Furious with the guns and the drug cartel and whatever with Obama. But, you know, something I just heard yesterday, actually. I'm glad you brought that up. It's amazing because, you know, you do talk about Obama being accountable for this, and that's true. But you know who else is accountable is Eric Holder, the attorney general. He's the one that got caught hand in the cookie jar. And he was the only one in, like, gosh, ever, I think it was, that went down. And, you know, he basically didn't want to even testify. But here's the here's the thing about what's going on with that. Eric Holder is actually going to be announcing to run for presidency in next January. He was told, it was on a talk show, and he said, I'm going to make mind in January. So can you imagine having that hanging over him, that what he caused with this Fast and Furious with Brian Terry going down and everything else, that well, the other people that were killed, raped, murdered, and all whatever have you, it was on his dime.
Man, I tell you, I hope he ends up in prison before. I don't want to see this happen. I mean, he's the one. Yeah, but you're exactly right. He initiated all this. You know, and imagine if he becomes president, it's going to be revenge. He's going to do everything he can to get back at us. How dare you not vote for Hillary? You should go to jail because you voted for... I mean, look at Dory attacking the voters. Remember, we had guys out there threatening to kill... I don't even like to say this, but they were threatening to assassinate Donald Trump and the people who were supporting him. There's people out there doing this. And, of course, Eric Holder, they'll be the hero, see, because Eric Holder, well, he'll just look the other way when people do this stuff, see. And there'll probably be violence against us. And then we'll need our Second Amendment. The first thing Eric Holder is going to try to do is strip us of our Second Amendment rights. There's a purpose. Our founders put that in there. I mean, there's a reason. And it's also in the Bible. Now, we didn't have guns back in biblical days, but we had swords. And he wanted this arm. Of course, they used this one line that, melt your swords down into plowshares. That's if you're a criminal and you're misusing guns or swords. If you're going to misuse them, live by the sword, you're going to die by the sword. That's if you're going out robbing banks and shooting people, sooner or later somebody's going to shoot back. And that's what they meant. Now, I don't go around shooting people. I don't think God would have a problem me shooting cardboard boxes and having fun, because I don't think about hurting somebody, see? So I'm not living by the gun, see? I enjoy what I'm doing. And I hope I never have to ever take a human life in self-defense. None of us wants to go through that. It's a horrible thing to live with, and I think God knows that, too. He knows that we'd be living in horrible guilt, even though it's in the Bible that you can defend yourself. That's why we have a Second Amendment. That's where they got it from. Our founders got it from the St. James Version of the Bible. Our Bill of Rights is our true civil rights. You know, that's... You don't need special rights for, like, homosexuality. That's not in the Bible. And now, God wouldn't want people to go out and take the law in their own hands and murder people because they are homosexuals. He didn't want that. He also didn't want people murdering doctors that commit abortions. Now, that doesn't mean we have to take the services from a doctor or, you know, that perform abortions. You can go to a doctor that doesn't believe in abortions. A person should have that right to pick your doctor that way. And I believe that, and I know you agree with me. If you don't think the doctor's living a moral life, which I don't think, if they're committing abortion, that's a sin, you can go to a doctor that doesn't believe in that and won't perform them. You know, and that's why I believe you should have your choice and picking the doctor that you trust the most. And it's the same thing with anything in life. You know, but like I said, our founders gave us the true Bill of Rights, and that's our first 10 amendments in our Bill of Rights, where that protects basically the people. And that's what our founders were for. See, they knew that someday government would get corrupt, or a foreign government could come in and try to take over, and we have our right to defend ourselves. In fact, we could even pool our resources and buy, like, artillery, You know, and that's what a lot of people did. They have these armories, and you'll see people buying, like, artillery. With an individual would be too expensive, or tank, which would take maybe 50 people to pay for, and they could buy it, and then they use it in case we're ever attacked. We have a means of defending ourselves, see? And that's what the Second Amendment was about, is defense, primarily against a government that's gone out of control and becomes a threat to the citizens. You have a right to turn around and say, we can stop this. And this happened, you know, back in the King George days. That's why the Second Amendment was derived. It was from the Bible, but also King George was a threat to the citizens because they didn't want to pay this mandated tax that was prohibited. And so they went to war. You know, it was basically started like that. And there was some other issues, but they wanted their own country. They wanted independence. So they signed the Declaration of Independence, which basically was their death warrant. You know, and most of them were bankrupt. In fact, almost all the founding fathers died bankrupt. They destroyed it. But the thing is, they did that for us. They sacrificed everything for us. That's why it pains me to see an American flag being burnt and disrespected. It pains me to no end. You know. But anyway, I'll turn this back to you because we've got about 20 minutes or so left. So I'll just turn this back to you, Lou, and let you see what you think. I'll just bounce that idea off of you. So.
Oh, you're very right, exactly right, Gary. And yes, you can. Everybody can join us here at the Pitt Radio News. The Pitt stands for the Politically Inconvenient Truth. And please give us a call. We, like Gary said, we have about 19 minutes left now. You can call us at 646-787-8534. And please press 1 if you have a comment or question. We'll be glad to get you as part of the conversation. We love it when people call us every week. It's great. It's great, great discussion. So, anyways, yes, you know, you're right, Gary. The things that are going on right now, it just blows my mind that these people can be so, it's like they're actors in a lot of ways. They can't believe what they actually think. What it is because they're trying to push their agenda so hard that it's almost like it's acting, like as if it's in a movie that's not real, and they know. But they're fooling people, and people, you know, that's why some of these people they worship these actors. They're like, oh, you know, and they think that that's the character. They think that's actually them. But no, what it is it's just a movie, or it's just a TV show, or it's just whatever out there. It's not really their character, their name, their whatever. But that's what they're doing. They're pushing their agenda by fooling people. But they're not fooling God. They're not fooling the people of God, because that's why we have a show called The Politically Inconvenient Truth, because we're here to spread the truth and which expose the lies. And that's what Donald Trump's anointed for, is to actually get people to understand that what's been going on isn't working because it's not of God. It does not have the foundation of God, then it will not stand. No walls will stand without the foundation of God. And that's why all these big governments and whatever, that's why they never work, because they get to the point where these people, they're long in the tooth for, you know, in Congress or whatever. They are in there for so long that, you know, they get greedy and they want power and they want money and they want fame and fortune and everything else, but they don't want to run this country as the Constitution is laid out. Very, very simple terms. And you're right when you said about the founding fathers. You know, I was talking about Reagan, if he came back and was listening what was going on or whatever. Yeah, you're true. Most important is God is listening. And can you imagine if the founding framers, the founding fathers came back, and they were like going, "Wow, what's happened? Oh my gosh, you guys are not following what we had all together collectively to help this country thrive, you know, to keep a well-oiled machine running. But you know, there's a lot of squeaks going on here." So,
that's true.
So basically, Donald Trump's been here to basically squeaky wheel gets the grease. Well, you know what? God's saying, you know what? Enough's enough. We need to get this back on track here. And you know, when the accomplishments that Trump and the people he's surrounding himself with have done with God has been amazing. You know, when you look at Israel, you know, the capital now, you know, Jerusalem, it's just incredible what he's done. All these, I mean, Hannity has on his show every so often all these lists of accomplishments, and he's talking away, and it's running down, and it's going for like a two-minute span, all these accomplishments that Donald Trump's done. And it's just amazing, for 19 months of being in office, I mean, even before that, even from when he when before he even become president, he was getting people moving into doing things aligning before January 20th, 2017. You know, it's just incredible the influence that he's had for these people. And you go and you look at all these other leaders. You know, look even Europe. You know, just recently, you know, they had to have a deal now when it comes to trade and whatnot. You know, so all these trade deals that he's making and whatever, you know. Basically saying, you know, we're going to put tariffs on everybody because you guys aren't paying your share. So therefore, you know, all this is basically people are thinking, wow, you know, this is a real deal. This is not just a threat. This is actually, he's going to follow through with this. So they're realizing, you know what, we got to start paying our fair share. So with these trade deals, that's going to bring money back into this country. And this debt is going to be paid off. And you know, that's what we need, with the economy and this trade and everything like that. Therefore, this is what's going to happen, is we're going to have people seeing more and more results every month that goes on. And this is why I do believe that with them doing what they're doing, Trump and all of his people, get out there and vote and make sure that you stand for the Republican. You know, you may even have some Republicans in your local office that you don't really agree with or whatever. And you know what? Look at the bigger picture, people. You know what? Just vote for them, because you know what? That means we keep the seats, we add more, and then Donald Trump has more to work with to keep this well-oiled machine running. And so don't be making it a personal thing in a sense, as far as, like, you know, if you don't like someone for this, whatever, but just vote the Republican, and you know what, the swamp's being drained as we speak. It's a process, but be part of the solution, not part of the problem. You'll see how you'll be working with the president to make it done, to get it done right, and to keep America great. As you know, his new slogan for the 2020 campaign will be "Keep America Great," and I think that's such a great thing to have. So anyways, we got 13 and a half minutes left. I'm gonna hand it over to you, Gary.
Okay, I'll kind of make my closing comment here, I guess. But it'll take a few minutes. But anyway, I like the fact, yes, to keep America great, we keep a constitutional government in check. I mean, that's the best thing here. But I was going to say something, I just forgot it right away. That's just the way the brain happens to work. But anyway...
I hear you.
You know, I one thing I like, you know, is I feel more comfortable now, because back when Obama was the president, I never knew what he was going to do from day to day, you know, and that puts stress on a person. You know, you don't know what, and everything he did, you know, I mean, it wasn't good for our country. What's he going to do tomorrow? You know, I mean, and the thing is, now I don't have to really. I can sleep better at night because I don't have to worry about our rights being threatened. And one thing, and you were saying something too, we have to be involved with government. Yes, if he does something, if Donald Trump comes up with a good idea, and that's fine. He can't make a law. He can't write a law. Constitutionally, he can't do that. But he can come up with ideas. And if we like the ideas, and this is where we put pressure on your congressman. President Reagan had that down to a T. I mean, he would go to the American people, okay, my Congress is opposing me on this. So he went to the American people, and they put pressure. He got his tax cuts, even though they were Democrat Congress, because they put pressure. You know, hey, if you don't do this, we're not going to vote for you. Well, that has your congressmen shaking in their boots, you know. And it doesn't matter if they're Republican or if they're Democrat. If they're, you know, I write them letters. I don't send them anything threatening. People ever do, don't ever send a threatening letter, but make it firm. Nothing wrong with firmness. Tell them that you do vote, and you're going to make sure that they'll be voted out of power if they don't do what we want. And that's the problem with a lot of these congressmen. They get a little arrogant, and they have a tendency to do what they want, even if the people don't want it. And, of course, a lot of them are sacrificed. They vote out. They should be voted out. One thing about Washington, D.C., and one thing that was changed in their and it should be changed back, and I can't remember which amendment, maybe you can look it up there, my friend, but at one time the Senate was not voted by the people. It was voted by Congress in the states. Your Senate, you know, you got two Senate seats, And the Senate was supposed to represent the states. You know, you had two of them in every state. 50 states had 100, you had 100 senators. And and of course, the legislators voted them in and out. And, of course, if they didn't do what they're supposed to do, they could be impeached. Well, now they're voted in like, was, you know, like the general, was the people vote them in. As a, you know, your senators voted by you and I, not legislators. And that changed that. And, of course, now they represent Washington, D.C. They're supposed to represent the state and what's good for the state. And the House of Representatives is voted by us. We are the ones that put them in power or remove them. That's how we have election every 2 years, and the Senate has election every 6 years. See, that's what the theory of our how it's written in, the theory of our founders, how they wrote it in the voting law, where the president was every 4 years. But they put the House of Representatives the closest to the people, and, of course, every 2 years we could vote them out if they didn't fulfill their function. So, you know, people have better memories in 2 years than 6 years. 6 years, you might forget something. So, but the 6 years, I mean, and that's the way it should have been, but that was amended back, I think, and I'm not even sure what year it was anymore, but it was back in the early 1900s, and, of course, and I think things started to go downhill, and we started seeing government grow. I mean, you have to represent the state. You don't represent Washington. And when they started to represent Washington, of course, then they wanted to grow Washington. That's what any representative will do. Instead of growing the state. See, the state is supposed to grow. That's what the representation is supposed to. And then the House of Representatives is supposed to represent all the rest of us and do what's right for us. And it's kind of, they're kind of moving away. We still have the House of Representatives. Now we have to have the Senate vote on it. And, you know, that's the thing. And it seems like it takes forever. And some good bills get thrown away. I mean, just because you have people representing Washington and not the state, not what's good to the state anymore. They want to grow Washington, D.C., which does not have everybody's interests at heart. They have their own basic interests. You know, they want to grow their power. They want to get rich and go home rich and remain rich for the rest of their life. So they fix it that way. So they're exempt from all the laws that, excuse me, I got a cough, a dry cough. They're exempt from all the laws that they put in place for us, like the health care, they're exempt from it. So all these bad bills, and this is what we'd see if another Democrat gets in. So if Eric Holder runs, and if he were to ever win, you're going to see a lot more of this. And they're going to fix it so they'll never be able to be prosecuted. They'll just immune themselves from practically everything, and it's going to be very hard to reverse. And then one more thing, I'll turn it over to you and let you wrap it up, my friend. When it comes to, like, the debt, you know, every time the debt gets increased, I think we're around $20 trillion. Guess what happens to us? The value of our dollar goes way down. So it takes more dollars to buy the same thing with a high debt like that. If we have lower the debt, if we get it eventually, we aren't going to live long enough to see it paid off. It's just going to take forever. But if we can get it paid off, the value of the dollar goes way back up, and we'll do a lot better than we will now. If it takes $5 to buy something, I'm not going to say a widget, I'm just making up the name, $5 for a widget that used to cost $1. The thing is, it isn't your income may even go down a little bit if you get the debt payoff, but your income will buy far more and you'll be far better off. I remember the days back in the 60s, you could buy a hamburger for 15 cents back in the mid-60s. And we earned a lot less, but the thing is, we lived on $5,000, $6,000 in a year. You could live real comfortably on that. So you actually, and they weren't in the tax brackets like you are now. So, see, that's the thing. You want to get, you don't want to increase that debt up, you know, because this is what's happening. It's going to put us in a high tax bracket, and it's going to cost a fortune just to live. So I'll turn this back to you and let you wrap it up, my friend.
You're very right. And that's the thing, you know, this inflation and everything went up because of greed and power, you know, that people wanted to have. So, yeah, you know, I believe that if we can, you know, keep it with the Republicans and, not the elitists, but the ones that are of mind of God and Constitution and Trump like that, then, you know, then we're going to knock this deficit down. Because we're not going to be, you know, there's not going to be a lot of this ill-gotten gains going on anymore. We drain the swamp. So I think we're on the right track, and that's the main thing. But, you know, it's just We got to work from the people, the grassroots, to get the understanding of this, to keep this going, to keep this whole well-oiled machine running again, and keep it running, I should say. Anyhow, yes, we are actually near the end of the show here. We have a little over about 5.5 minutes to go, and anyone can call us at any time. We're here every Sunday, 1 p.m. Central Time. And so you can call 646-787-8534 and press 1 if you have a comment or question. We'd love to have you on here. And but for now, we're going to actually end this show here. Thank you all very much for joining us here at the Pitt Radio News. The Pitt stands for the Politically Inconvenient Truth. They don't want to hear it, but we have to say it. Anyhow, we're gonna end this show with a little more Paul Harvey, and this is exactly what Donald Trump is doing. It's he's not only having some hard work, but he's also working smarter too. So we need to have people back to work. We are getting that, and instead of having basically a hand out, how about a hand up? That's all right with us, but to have a hand out, that's not good. But just some good old hard work from Paul Harvey, and that's what we need to have.
All right.
So thank you, America. Thank you for joining us. God bless you all and your families, and vote Republican. Get everybody out to do this every day. We need some people in the grassroots to get this going, because we only have 100 days left. So here's some Paul Harvey. And before that, thank you very much to my co-host, Gary Rumor, up in North Dakota. You're a blessing to have along with us. Keep your health healthy, everybody, your family, and bless your family, and we'll talk to you soon.
And thank you, and God bless you too, my friend.
Thank you very much. God bless America.
American preachers tell me that there is no sermon which is looked forward to with less enthusiasm than a sermon about sin. Well, that's probably true if we're talking about a secular sermon on the subject of hard work. There is no gospel less popular than the gospel of hard work. I could ask you today, I could ask you right now to demonstrate your faith in America by handing poison to snakes, and many or most of you would. I could outline a fundamental Christian code of conduct which strictly forbids the use of stimulants or sedatives or the wearing of jewelry, and many would, willingly and without question, accept and be bound by such abstinence. Our leaders could readily rally you to fight and die for your country, as they have many times, and you would even again. But if Paul Harvey or any politician should state that our only chance for survival is to get off our dead centers and get to work, well, I'd be lucky if you'd let me finish. But I'm going to test my luck today. You see, I don't happen to be running for or from anything, and that does make a difference. The pregnant skyline of America was set in place one brick at a time. Now, that represents a lot of calluses. America the Beautiful is not an accomplished fact guaranteed to remain intact. God shed his grace on thee, to be sure, but this was wasteland when God had it to himself. He handed man a hoe and said, "You want another Eden? All right, earn it." And all that's necessary for the weeds to take over again is for you and me to lay down that hoe. Now, Americans, the problem is less acute today than it has been. We're on the right track right now. But if we sit down on that track, I'm afraid we're going to get run over. We tell our young people how our country was carved out of the wilderness. No, it wasn't. Our nation was not carved out of the wilderness. Our nation was hammered and hoed and chopped and dug and sawed and clawed out of the wilderness by barehanded men who asked nothing for nothing. America did not start out with an agricultural production that's the awe and envy of the world. It was seeded first by sod-busting farmers who fought Indians and ranchers and cold and heat and drought and bugs and flood and one another. The fruited plain sprang forth from barren acres only after they had been watered with a lot of sweat. I guess what I'm saying is that the more history I study, ours and others, the more certain I am that there is one fertilizer essential to the survival of civilization, and that fertilizer is sweat. And I don't mean perspiration. I mean the kind of steamy, streamy, salty sweat that's wrung from a man by hard physical work. Somehow, the sweat gets into the soil of a farm or a factory or a city or a state or a nation, and everything thereabouts grows tall and strong and tough enough to stand against any storm. But the day the sweat dries up, the soil dries up, and whole civilizations are buried in dust.